Every guest on the Executive Shaman podcast has a special place in my life. Think about all the people you've met that have shaped your development as a professional. I met Antez when he was the Command Sergeant Major at Launchville Regional Medical Center, and this was just when I was starting to take off as a leadership consultant and really getting into conscious mindset and growth. Today we talk about the advice you'd give yourself 20 years ago and the impact that might have had. You'll hear us like learn about ourselves and each other in real time, and that we are actually very deliberately asking these questions and taking our time to come up with the real truth and not just the quick and easy answer. What advice would you give yourself 20 years ago, and what impact would it have on you now?
Welcome to the Executive Shaman Podcast, where Dr. Crystal White and her comrades guide us to bring more wholeness, energy, and connectivity to our professions. We're ready, Crystal. Get us started.
Hey, welcome, Antez. It's nice to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you. Happy to talk with you.
I'm always happy to have a conversation with you. One of the achievements of just two adults who have busy lives and challenges and things to get done and bodies to feed and responsibilities and other people to care for is that we make time for one another. And it's an awesome honor to have you spend time with me. So thanks.
Thank you. The privilege is mine.
I always start the podcast with guests asking, what do you really do for a living? And I would love it if you could share with me what your response is. What do you really do for a living?
I do absolutely nothing at this point. As I've just closed out a 30-year career in the Army, I recently retired, so I'm in a nice space right now trying to figure out what I might want to do next. No stress, though, as I don't have real debt, so I have some time to figure it out.
Yeah. One of the beautiful things about transformations and making life transitions, which we all do if we are blessed with longer lives, is to slow down and be willing to not know and not be certain and to reflect and consider what is most beneficial for your skills and gifts and talents and how you can make a contribution in a way that honors like this new version of yourself. And often we don't take that time to slow down. I know I didn't, and it's not fun a lot to slow down and reflect.
The good thing for me, slowing down gave me this opportunity to think about volunteering. So I am in the middle of a course as a volunteer for it, being a court-appointed special assistant for children. So that's pretty fulfilling, and I'm learning a great deal. I had opportunity to do a court observation the other day, and each night learning more and more about how I will engage in the future to help out whoever I'm assigned, a single child or multiple kids moving forward.
How do you think that volunteering opportunity is going to help you decide what to do next?
I'm not certain that it will help me decide what to do next. Although I recall being asked the question as a 17-year-old, what in the world I would want to do when I grew up. And I remember my answer was I wanted to do something working with kids. So in a way, 30 years in the Army, although they're not kids, there's a lot of young men and young women who had who needed and required certain mentorship. So, in a way, I guess I did that too.
Absolutely. I really believe that I got my start in executive leadership development by helping people figure out how people develop, children develop, and how to guide them appropriately. And I absolutely believe that your volunteering is speaking to something inside of you and meeting a need. And anytime we meet a need of our spirit, we have energy to really propel ourselves forward in a direction that is pretty progressive. My question then is, why did you say yes to this podcast together.
Because you're awfully persuasive. How about that? No, yeah. So seriously,
great. Thank you.
Because you asked me, then, and obviously I thought it would be a great honor. It's an opportunity to stretch myself to do something totally different that I hadn't done before. And so I said, why not? I know you're going to take care of me and make sure I don't mess this thing up.
Impossible. Yeah, it's my honor. Thank you. You know, we were just talking about working with children. And when we kind of were, when you were adolescent, what you wanted to do is work with children. And the topic for today is what advice you'd give yourself 20 years ago. And the kind of, I don't know if people do this, if people actually take this question seriously and reflect on who they've been. But I know that if we slow down and honor our past, it helps us first feel grateful for the growth that we've had, for the challenges that we've overcome, for the blessings that have been given to us. But it also reminds us that we can grow and we can change at any point, and our lives can take different directions and more interesting trajectories if we could see the perspective from it. Like, one of my favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life, right? Mm-hmm. And that gives a strategic perspective on the development of who we are as leaders. So what is one thing that came up for you when I asked you this question? What is like one of the top things that you would want your 20-something-year-old self to have known?
Okay, so the first thing I had to do is kind of consider, well, who was I or where was I? So picture this as I established the background. 1999, married already for 8 years, 2 children. I'd been in the Army for just over 10 years. I was a staff sergeant in Army speak. Hefty responsibilities of manhood, providing for a family at this time. But I already knew that I excelled as a soldier, and I knew that I would serve for 20 years, as I'd already passed the 10-year mark. So that was the background. A key piece of advice, I think. So I would say to myself that you have nothing to prove to others. You have nothing to prove to others. My experience up until that point was actually, I was always feeling the need that I needed to prove myself to other people. But I realized it just wasn't necessary. I would say focus your efforts on things you want to achieve personally, professionally, academically, financially, and that the end result will account for the significant gains you seek in all facets of your life. You'll achieve your goals, but I would encourage myself to set even higher and more lofty goals to pursue. So that's what I would, mm-hmm. that's what I would tell myself.
What difference do you think that would have made if you knew those things at, you know, 28 years old?
So the notion of not proving things to others, I walked around life as an African-American man with the impression, with the thought that I had to work harder than anybody else around me in order to just have a fair shake or fair consideration for whatever it is, you know, I was trying to, you know, develop into. But later, I just found that wasn't necessary to think that way, that to be me was enough. And I didn't need to prove anything, just the natural state of me operating day to day showed the results on its own. So I didn't need to put that pressure on myself that I needed to be more stronger, faster, smarter than everybody else around me just to get a fair shake.
Yeah. Boy, this urge, this compulsion for me throughout the course of my life to prove myself, to earn my place, to demonstrate my value and my worth has wasted a lot of energy. And I am fascinated that, you know, I'm white, young, 20-some-year-old who has so many blessings and opportunities coming left and right, and I still suffered from an extreme lack of value, self-value. I mean, I was confident in my skills and abilities and talents, but I was not solid in my sense of inherent value.
Yeah, that's interesting. So my track was a little different in that I lacked self-esteem, but I didn't lack confidence, which seems like a conflict, but it was a work in progress over time in that small achievements became successively greater achievements, ultimately wiping away or minimizing the low self-esteem and me becoming who I am today, and self-esteem just is not an issue. Yeah.
I just wasted so much time with it. And people can kind of tell that, I mean, I have a high degree of confidence and self-value now, but people could tell in my late 20s. For example, I was in my medical fellowship at Madigan, and I just had LASIK done, and I walk into work maybe a week later, and I had black glasses on. And my, and, you know, the attending was like, didn't you have LASIK done? And I was like, yeah, but the glasses make me look more mature and more intelligent, and I, you know, don't want to explain myself to people. And, you know, I look younger than I am at that time. I think I probably look like I'm in college still. And he laughed at me and he was like, you just paid $2,000 to be wearing glasses again. What does that say about your internal sense of value? Like, you have to influence others based on who you know yourself to be internally. And it was a powerful experiential mess up for myself. And it has always, always guided me today. What's the second piece of advice you would give yourself?
So it would be more on the personal side. So we've already established at this point, I'm 28. So 28 is actually my younger self. I used to say that, oh, I would get married at 28. I would have kids at 28. That's not quite what happened, but it would have been better, the best advice, in that, you know, I'm married at 21. I was just too young. Still growing, still maturing. It was just too soon. So no need to rush. You know, you need to figure out who you are. So from a fatherhood perspective, as a 28-year-old man, what I realized is that I lacked the benefit of a positive male influence growing up. And in the absence of that example, and in the absence of a rule book, I didn't have a rule book of what it meant to be a man or be a father necessarily. So I decided to display or provide my children with an example of the type of person I would want to have access to back then. While this is an excellent approach or perspective to take, I must say, though, you don't have a monopoly on brain power. You have to, you know, there are a number of positive influences around my life at that time. And so moving forward, I would encourage the younger me to cultivate those relationships and seek some guidance and mentorship along the way. You can't benefit from the knowledge and experience of the right people, and to just trust it. That's the advice I would give myself. Mm,
just trust it. Yeah. There's no time to rush and to trust the process. And I don't do this frequently. And I absolutely didn't do it in my 20s. Like, we have no time to rush. And I'm going to share that at the beginning when we started, you know, connecting about the podcast, even today, I picked up the phone, you answered, and it's so easy just to jump into, like, here we go, let's do the task, let's, right? And even when we work together, I have this process for slowing down and connecting and not rushing the work, because the human being that is doing the work is more valuable, is where the juice is. And if we remember that, if we started like doing that at 20, I believe our relationships would be much richer, not just with one another, but with ourselves.
Sure. Sure. I definitely see benefit in it, because I was guilty of it as well. I went straight to the task. So yeah, I see the benefit of slowing down.
I didn't let you get away with it though.
You did not.
Well, the interesting part about your two main pieces of advice for yourself is that it feels more mentoring, the type of advice that you would give, or the first one. And the second one kind of felt more counseling. And there's four kind of types of advice. And counseling is when you give you want a framework or a process for understanding a situation. And you provide your guidance on how to approach the experience or what's going on with clarity or with wisdom. And that's what counseling does. And would you say that the there's no time to rush is like a way of counseling yourself back then?
Well, I kind of have to rely on your definition. And my passion was coaching, developing, and mentoring soldiers. And I'm now trying to find a new passion. Mm-hmm. So counseling is a natural part of what we do as well. I've never taken time to kind of compartmentalize and say which task am I doing at a given time. I just kind of assess what's before me and come up with, an appropriate recommendation, but I never know which basket is coming from. Is it coming from a counseling basket or a mentorship basket?
Yeah. I like that you're like, well, those categories don't really apply to how I do it. And I know there are leaders that need those categories. Like in this moment, I'm counseling. I'm guiding about how to approach a complex situation. And here I'm coaching, which is I'm going to enhance your skill. I'm going to increase how you manage it or your awareness. Or here I'm mentoring you, which is I'm giving you opportunities or protection, or I'm going to aid you in some ways to amplify your career. And some people like to typify that, but there's also just giving very specific direct advice around like a single decision, right? So advice would be very discreet advice would be like, don't do this. Don't get married before the age of 27, because research shows that you have more of a likelihood to get divorced before you get married before age of 27 versus after. That's like discreet advice. And for me, I don't typify it either, but some leaders need the distinguishing categories just to consciously help another person versus automatically react according to their standard way of leading others. So,
yeah. So I found that kind of like the one of the most important parts of leadership for me is to understand your team and your people. I think there's a phrase I heard years ago, there's nothing so unequal as to treat everyone equally. Basically, everybody is in a different space along their path of development and growth. So I needed to be astute and understand what need is arising in front of me. Is it that the person before me does not know how to accomplish a task, which will require more oversight and supervision and guidance? Or do they just need a little help? So am I coming at them to say, hey, I'm showing them where to get the information versus just giving them the information.
Yeah.
Or the person has so much experience that they need little guidance. And I just kind of lay out the end state of what it is we're looking for and let them work over time. So I kind of, that's the approach I've used, is to take a look at the person, the development of the person before me, and I'll craft my response, my actions from there.
I did comment that I found your response to even my question, what advice would you give yourself 20 years ago, to be very deliberate. And you spent a lot of reflective energy digging deep and thinking about who you were at that stage of life. You even gave context before you answered the question here. So as a leader, you are highly contextual. Every individual, you're contextualizing where they're at. And you do this probably unconsciously. That level of competence is executed unconsciously now.
I think you're right on that. I think you're right.
Tell me what even the process of answering this question did for you.
I enjoyed just taking time to reflect and consider, yeah, what in the world would I say to myself? What would I say to myself to kind of move things forward? And the thing that I was happy about is just that, just to believe in the process that you're okay. You're going to be, you would be fine. I haven't made any grave mistakes, I guess, over time. But it would be nice to just have that kind of clarity that, yeah, it's going to be okay. You're going to accomplish every single thing that you set out to do. Not only that, but if you chose to aim even higher, you would achieve that too.
Absolutely. I think the question, what would you want to say to yourself 20 years ago, helps us understand where we are today. So I invite people, if you're listening, to hit pause and attempt to come up with some answer that is authentic for you before we continue. And now after you answer that question, either quickly or it took you a couple of days or minutes, the interesting thing is that advice that you were giving yourself 20 years ago is still relevant now.
Yes.
The degree to its relevancy could be on a wide spectrum, but it's still speaking to you today. You just said yes. So tell me why it's a yes for you.
It's such a simple concept, but it's definitely true. So that advice that I would give myself back then, it certainly does apply today. Otherwise, I wouldn't give it. Because if it wasn't good for me today, it probably wasn't as good for me at that time in my life either. Either I believe it or I don't.
I'm a type of person, if I identified what I wanted to give myself 20 years ago, I'm pretty sure I still need work in that area. And I like to think that sometimes I'm beyond something or I've overcome it where it's just like no longer part of the fabric of my being. And some things, that's absolutely true. Like I used to question if I was quick enough or smart enough or good enough. And now I understand that all those are irrelevant questions. But I still struggle with not focusing too much on others and pushing past my own boundaries, whether they're physical, emotional, or even value-based. When I was in my 20s, I probably did things that I just did not believe in. And I still have a way to go of how to listen to myself and honor other people at the same time. So I'm...
Sure. I still don't have a monopoly on brain power. I still can learn from others around me. Where they say, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So, yeah, I look to others at this time. So yes, I do believe it's valuable advice and is relevant today.
Well, thanks for the conversation today and just partnering with me. And thank you for listening with us if you're still all the way with us at the end. I am honored that you chose to spend time together with us, and hopefully you found some value for you. You can take what is helpful and leave the rest. And if you're interested in other episodes, you can find them on drcrystalwhite.com. Thanks, Antez. I'm looking forward to
Thank you, Dr. Crystal. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I do appreciate it. Thanks for considering
me. It's my honor.